foolishness begin to be, you seem to have gotten some inspiration from being Jewish.
Oh yes, well it started slowly after I had retired from the Humanities Forum because I really was burned out. I loved the job, but I just felt I couldn't continue. And I had a great desire to study history. I started taking history courses, mostly advanced, at the University of Pennsylvania, and some were intellectual history. And I noticed that after a while I really enjoyed those courses, that they never seemed to discuss what was happening with the Jews at those times. And I thought, well, this would be good. I could work, because I was only taking one course at a time, and I could study and find out at the time of this history that I was studying what was happening to the Jews at the same time. And so I started trying to supplement each course that way. And I think at the same time I had become interested in family history through talking with an aunt of mine, a great aunt, and finding how fascinating her story was. And I think this was beginning to show me a connection of her life and through it, the life of our family, to Jewish history and the greater currents of history that were going on at the same time. And they were supplementing each other. And so I think my interest in genealogy was...
came first.
Well, I'm not sure. The history interest had propelled me into the history and that into the Jewish. And felt the genealogy, I'm not sure of what came first.
But the genealogy certainly spurred you. Your family's history.
Oh yes, it definitely
and
did.
And so what did you do in terms of delving into your own family?
Well, I first started reading books about how to go about it, and one of the books very helpfully said, before you start scouring the archives, find out who are the oldest people in your family and go and interview them, because they may not be around much longer. And so that really appealed to me. It seemed so sensible. And I did that. And I started focusing on one side of my family where most of the relatives were still living. And started visiting the oldest ones when I could do that. Usually I would work that in with family visits, because my family still lived in Rochester, New York, and that's where a lot of these relatives were, so it would work in. Nissen was not too interested in this, and so it held me back a bit, because I didn't want to subject him to these kinds of conversations all the time. And so sometimes I would excuse myself and go off on my own to interview somebody. But I very much enjoyed that, getting the stories from these older people, and they very much enjoyed giving the stories to me. So it was a mutually satisfying experience, and I just really enjoyed it. And I guess that this really stimulated my identification with Judaism, and as well as the studies I was doing. And then, having read about the way the yeshiva students, boys, studied Talmud, it occurred to me that it would be really interesting to try to study it in that way. And a good friend of mine named Yetta Chaikin thought that would be a wonderful idea too, and we quickly recruited a couple of others who were of like interests, and formed a little group and started searching about how to go about it. And Nissen advised us a little, and I'm not sure how we found our first rabbi, but we asked him if we could study with him, and started, I believe, with Talmud, which we soon discovered was something much too difficult for us, at least at the start. And I think it was Nissen who said we would probably do much better if we started with Mishnah. And so that's what we did, and we became the Mishnah class. That was the beginning of it, and I think it was around 1985. But we started with one rabbi and went to him for a
rabbi
couple of years.
Rabbi Reske.
Yes, Rabbi Portal.
You're right.
And we continued with him in Wilmington because he was giving a course, I think, at Albert Einstein or Graz, I'm not sure, but we were able to meet with him in Wilmington. But first we did go to Westchester. In that early group was Terry Daneman from Dover and Ruth Siegel. And I think, I'm not sure who else there was.
At any rate, Nissen also taught us when...
Was that after Portel?
After Portel. Because we...
Right, we were
searching
around. Mm-hmm. And I think we actually invited Mrs. Gewirtz to lead us. We thought maybe it would be interesting to have not a rabbi, but somebody very knowledgeable. And she declined.
But she was teaching at Rene.
Yes, right. She was teaching at the university, wasn't she? And probably at Graz, too.
Right.
So I guess that's when we started with Nissen. He agreed, and he turned out to be a wonderful leader.
Wonderful teacher,
yes. And he allowed us to do it in the way that we wanted to do it. He was in full agreement with that we wanted to be able to discuss it without being told how to interpret it, but we wanted to read the Mishnah and discuss why they had reasoned the way they had reasoned and what the possible ramifications would have been. And he helped us if we missed something that he thought, he would ask a question to lead us in the right direction. But he didn't lecture, and he was very good. And I guess he continued as long as he could,
mm-hmm.
Which was until the year that he died, which was 1989.
Mm. I want to just step back a minute, back to your genealogy. Your genealogy made you, you said, interested in Jewish
history.
But you also took some trips with the Genealogy Society.
Well, I did do that, but before that, Nissen and I had been going every year somewhere, and it occurred to us that we should really start looking for the particularly Jewish things
mm-hmm.
that were in the areas that we're going, we were going to, which were by then almost all in Europe, Greece and Italy and Israel. And so we did start doing that. And that was fascinating. Nissen was by then writing articles for the Jewish Voice, and when we came back, he would write one or more articles about what we found Jewishly interesting about the trip. And I must say that Nissen was a huge influence on my becoming interested in Judaism, because we would frequently discuss something at the dinner table or elsewhere that would be of Jewish interest or even philosophically interesting about Judaism and or other religions. And so we had a lot of discussions about Judaism, and I had become more and more interested and was very influenced by him because of his obvious erudition and interest in it. And I felt that there was an awful lot I didn't know and should have had before, but that maybe I could catch up a little.
Your genealogy search also took you on trips with the Genealogy Society.
Well,
back.
There was really only one.
Oh, one. Okay.
Yes.
You went where?
I went with Miriam Weiner on a wonderful trip that seemed to be tailor-made for me.
And she was president of the...
No, she was a freelance Jewish genealogist.
Uh-huh.
And she had offered such trips to genealogists in the past who were researching their family history. And I knew that her tours were highly regarded. I think she'd gone maybe... So I took this trip with Miriam as the leader, and it was a wonderful trip, and I think I was the luckiest person among us. I think there were about 24 people, and I was the only one who really found a relative in Ukraine, in Chernigov. The trip took us to Ukraine and to Poland, which were the two sites of my genealogical interest, my father being from the Ukraine, my mother from Poland. That was really a big thing for me, too, to have found this really a first cousin of my father's. She was much younger, and she had never known him. It was an amazing circumstance, and that too did a lot to cement my interest in the family and in history, because I really knew very little about Russian Jewish history, and so that was a new area of research.
And all of this culminated in what?
Well, it ended up by my writing a book about my mother's family, which was the Poland family from near Warsaw, about which I had the most information. That trip was a wonderful trip, but it didn't yield too much information about the Polish branch of the family, unfortunately, although I was able to visit the home sites. But I ended up having so many tapes these interviews that I had taken, and they were so wonderful. When I played them back, I would be laughing and almost crying. They were just so moving to hear the original voices, many of whom had since died, that I thought, what a wonderful thing it could be if only the other living relatives could hear these. And I couldn't figure any way to do that, so I thought, well, I could transcribe them and at least put them down in a book. And so it occurred to me that that would be the book that I would try to put together to somehow stitch together the narratives that had to do with my mother's family that had originated in Poland. It was my great-grandmother and grandfather who had first come over in 1881. And so there was a good deal of information available because they were buried near in Rochester. And so I had the names of their parents, their first names, of course, and it enabled me to do a lot of research on them. And this book was really a pleasure to write because
called
Where We Came From, because it enabled me to put together all these narratives and make some sense of them. And they did fit together and gave me a much better picture.
Yeah. And so all of this led you into becoming Jewish Great Books?
Oh, yes. Nissen and I were asked to lead the celebration of
Jewish Book Month.
And so it was going to be a really big celebration. I'm not sure why so big that year, but Nissen and I worked on it and gathered a wonderful big committee together that met and plotted out all the different aspects of it. And one of the things that we thought would be a good outgrowth of it that could start that month would be a Jewish book group, which we thought we would name Jewish Great Books. And I must say, it has been going since 1985, and
seems to have legs of its own.
Yes.
But you keep it going.
Well, I started off leading it, and my idea was that it would be taken over by others. But I think except for one year when one person did it, that was a wonderful year for me. But I have been leading it, but organizing it. We have more competent leaders. Sarah Gross has been our leader for almost all the time, and she's very experienced and excellent leader. But many of the group's members also volunteer.
So all of these activities seem to have funneled your interest into Jewish philanthropy.
Well, yes, into especially education, because I guess I felt the lack of it in my own life and how much I regretted that. And I think education is just so important for getting a Jewish identity, which I definitely lacked at the time Nissen and I were married, but little by little I came to have it.
Yeah. So what really gives you greatest pleasure at this point in terms of having worked through the Jewish community and with the Jewish community and thinking in terms of the next generation?
Well, the greatest pleasure, that's hard, but I guess the fact that Jewish Great Books has continued for so long makes me think that there's still a great interest in it. And I mean, we're reading 9 Jewish books a year as a result of that, the members of that. And the fact that Albert Einstein Academy has...
which has been one of your pet loves.
Yes, and it was one of Nissen's. He was very influential in that, in keeping it going when it was foundering. And I guess he was, I don't know, president of it for 1 or 2 years. And I know that he felt very strongly that it was a necessary component of a Jewish community. And I think he was able to help it, and now it has become very strong. And that really pleases me enormously.
And how about
and
your son?
Gratz Hebrew High School.
Yeah, Gratz.
Yeah, which Jesse did attend, because we felt that his education in Dover had been lacking. And so when we moved up, we recommended strongly to him that he attend Gratz for a year, which he did. And
Lauren is now teaching, your son.
Yes, that gives me enormous pleasure. I'm glad you mentioned that, because he is doing what Nissen did for one period after we moved to Wilmington. Nissen started giving sessions once a week on the Parsha of the week, or some other thing that we discussed, and the boys and I could enter the discussion of it, and it would be about an hour on Friday night, and I think they got a lot out of it, and now I see that Lauren especially got a lot out of it, because he started to establish it with his two daughters, my granddaughters, and he, as a result, has been learning himself so much, because he has to set the parameters of what they'll discuss each week, so he does a lot of research. And at the time he started it, he was between jobs and he had more time, but he's kept it up, even though now he has a full-time job, and I must say he's impressive, and we have long discussions on the phone about various Jewish questions and research things. So that's a great source of pleasure to me.
Yes, well, you've made him full circle. So, as I say, may you go from strength to strength.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You're a wonderful interviewer. Oh,
thank you, Rona.
Rona, I neglected to ask you about your work with the career women.
Okay, well, that came after I became involved in fundraising for the Jewish Federation. And I must say that that experience of fundraising and the preparatory talks that were given to us by rabbis and other people was very influential too in making me appreciate the value of Judaism and the importance of supporting the various facets of it and institutions of it. And at one point, somehow it was suggested that there be a career women's division and that women could be induced to give separately from their husbands, and that it would positively affect the total outcome, and that seemed to me to be valuable. And I was at the time working at the Delaware Humanities Forum, and so I was a career woman. And Margaret May also was interested in a career women's division, and we agreed to co-chair it. And I think it was for a year, possibly two, and we had various little events in our homes where we included people that we felt could be pivotal in getting the thing going, and those that were interested stayed on to help. And I think we had successful drives, and it was a very interesting experience. I think it was my first experience in organized Jewish philanthropy and being part of it. And then I also served on a committee of the Federation overseeing the Kutz home. And I think that's about it as far as my organized activities.
Thank you. Thank you.